Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. Today is, this is Owen Tracy recording at 1:22 Pacific Summer Time, and today was Janet Yellen's first meeting as Fed Governor. There was a number of economic announcements to go with that. None of them were particularly surprising. The U.S. Economy is continuing to grow in the 2.5 to 3% range, which on a relative strength basis really outshines the growth statistics that we're getting in other developed economies. The tapering of QE remains very much on course, so there will be an additional $10 billion removed from additional purchases in the next 6 weeks. Perhaps the most, the biggest impact is probably going to be on the mortgage market. Obviously, mortgages isn't as large a market as U.S. Treasuries, and the U.S. Fed has got a really quite sizable proportion of the mortgage market pretty much cornered. So the tailing back of mortgage bonds is likely to lead to higher yields in that particular sector. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to see higher yields in U.S. Treasuries as well. When we look at the chart of the U.S. 10-year, then we're presented with a first step above the base. And yields today found support in the region of the 200-day moving average around the 2.5% level. And really, when we look at what's going on at the Fed, then with forward guidance, they've made it pretty clear what their plans are. But what we do not know, and it will remain a source of uncertainty from the perspective of fixed income investors, is exactly what would Janet Yellen do in the case of a crisis. And generally speaking, the market is likely to test her resolve. So what we saw today was a slip in the value of treasuries. The 10-year was down a full point in terms of price, and quite a sharp rally on the 2-year in terms of the yield. It would suggest that we're going to see yields get right back up to the upper side of that range. That might take a few weeks to get there. And then the question will be whether we're going to see a breakout and an additional deterioration in prices. Well, if you're looking at bond funds, then bond funds do not have a yield to maturity. They have to constantly roll forward their bonds in order to manage the duration of the portfolio. Now, most bond funds have been attempting to reduce the duration of their portfolios because of the risk that is outstanding on the long end of the curve, and not least as people are beginning to price in that the Fed funds rate is going to be approximately 1% about 20 months from now. And that's well within the expiry of a 2-year note. So that would suggest that we're going to see upward pressure on yields. Well, bond funds are going to have been relying pretty much on capital appreciation, or the potential for capital appreciation, because they haven't been able to rely on yield. Well, the potential for capital appreciation is retreating steadily into the rearview mirror. We're not going to see a reliance on capital appreciation drive returns in fixed income for the foreseeable future. And that means that really people are going to have to start focusing on higher yield. It also suggests that any significant rally in a bond fund that one has an overweight position in can be regarded as a selling opportunity. The Merrill Lynch 10-year total return index for U.S. Treasuries has been trending higher. Well, that's not true. Trended higher between 1983 and last year. It was an index that had never gone down. Well, it started going down about 7 or 8 months ago. That's a change in trend. Well, in a major bull market, you buy the dips, but in a major bear market, you sell the rallies. We've just had a reasonable rally in the majority of fixed income instruments, and today was the first sign of weakness. So we can anticipate that bond investments aren't going to do particularly well in the next few weeks. Well, the fact that you have the U.S. economy growing at between 2 and 3%, and the fact that monetary policy is slowly but surely being on the road to being normalized, And we're still in a very accommodative position, though. But that's generally positive for the US dollar. When one thinks about the trajectory, well, then the supply of the currency is getting gradually less rather than getting gradually more. So we saw that the US dollar rallied against the euro in here today by more than a full cent. And of course, the ECB was also talking last week that $1.40 wasn't a level they were particularly happy with. So you have the Europeans with a vested interest in a weaker currency and fundamentals on a relative basis being that bit better in the US, suggesting that we are going to see some additional weakness in the euro and strength in the dollar. Well, the yen had also strengthened to the region of the 200-day moving average and unwound its oversold condition, and it was weaker in here today by an additional full yen. So the trend of yen weakness, which was initiated by the Bank of Japan's efforts to devalue the currency, is being helped along right now by the relative strength of the US dollar rather than any specific weakness in the yen. Well, commodity currencies such as the Australian dollar and the Canadian dollar had been firming over the last couple of weeks, but they were both weaker in here today. And the Canadian dollar is up, down now to $1, almost 12.5. This continues to look like a distribution prior to additional weakness for the loonie. And the Australian dollar, having firmed up above the 90 cent level, was down by 88 ticks in here today, and the RBA isn't going to want to see the Australian dollar get very much firmer than we are right now. Well, the result of the Russia annexing Crimea has been absorbed by the markets as a non-event. It's rather surprising that people are willing to take Vladimir Putin's word that he's not going to look for additional territory in the Ukraine. But nonetheless, what we've seen is that commodity prices that have been particularly affected by this have recovered somewhat in here, but that precious metals, which had benefited from the increasing tensions, were weaker. So this is the fourth day in a row that gold has been weaker, and it's down now to $1,330, down 25 in here today. And silver was down 23 cents, and palladium, which continues to consolidate, having broken a more than year-long progression of lower rally highs, is coming back into the $760 area. If it can hold in this area, then that could be really very encouraging. But we will need to find support in the region of $750 if the medium-term bullish argument is going to remain credible. And platinum was down by $13 in here today. In the energy complex, well, oil price, West Texas Intermediate is back above $100, having pulled back reasonably sharply over the last couple of weeks, not least because of the announcement that some oil was going to be released from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. We have seen some steadying in here, and not least because the economy is continuing to improve. In the soft commodity sector, the swine flu that the vomiting bug and diarrhea bug that is affecting young pigs is continuing to push lean hogs higher. And today was the first down day, but not in any kind of dynamic fashion. It's going to take a substantially larger decline in order to stem the momentum of this move. But it is an accelerating market. So with an accelerating market, if anyone has a long position, then stops are appropriate on a trailing basis. Elsewhere in the commodity sector, coffee continues to range here now below the 200 cent level, and it is another one of these commodities that has rallied really very, very impressively over the last number of weeks. Well, when you have these meaningful rallies taking place in a number of commodities, people start to look at other commodities and think about exactly what they're going to do. Well, corn continues to have this rounding characteristic, which would be consistent with accumulation, and cotton is back up now to test its 2013 highs and has held a progression of higher reaction lows for nearly 6 months. That would appear to be, if one was looking for the next a commodity that's likely to break out of a base, then cotton would certainly be in the short list. In stock markets, the S&P 500 was a bit weaker in here today, down about just a bit less than two-thirds of 1%, and the Dow Jones down about 0.7% of 1%. Well, we've described the rally on Wall Street as liquidity-fueled for the last number of years, so it is going to be sensitive to anything that would endanger the liquidity on which it has become increasingly reliant. We won't have conclusive evidence that a medium-term top has been reached until we see the progression of higher reaction lows broken on a sustained basis and a sustained move below the 200-day moving average. Even in that case, the fact is that we've completed a more than decade-long range, and that the most likely scenario is that following such an impressive breakout, that we see a first step above the base form that would generally be consistent with a choppy, rangy environment, and it's not too difficult to imagine why that might be the case. So we can anticipate what the end of this powerful cyclical advance is likely to look like, but we won't have conclusive evidence that it has actually ended until we see a progression of higher reaction lows broken. In the very short term, it looks more likely than not that we are going to see some further weakness in a number of stock markets, not least as government bond yields start to move higher in here. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.